welcome you back to another episode of Inside Boxing Live. We have a busy fight weekend coming up. Artur Beterbiev is back in action against Callum Smith. We have some news out of Japan. The Monster may have an opponent. And of course, some news at 140. Would not be a weekend or a week in the boxing world without news from the 140 pound division. Chris, how are you, my friend? How's everything going?
Excellent. I'm excited for this weekend, man. We got I feel like we got like a big fight pack. First real big one from 2024. Last weekend was
a warm up. It's like an appetizer.
A lot of drama, but not a great big fight. I think this weekend feels like a big fight.
Last week was the appetizer. It was warming up a little bit. We got the Barroso win. We got some drama, and then this weekend we get a pound for pound guy, a undefeated champion Artur Beterbiev, an aging Artur Beterbiev. Before we get to Artur Beterbiev, I have to talk to you about our new partners here at Inside Boxing Live. It's Factor. Factor Meals.
Yeah.
You ready for the new year, Chris? I'm ready for the new year. Chris loves Factor Meals because they're ready to eat meals that are delivered right to your door. It takes the stress out of meal planning, and it sets you up for success in the new year. Skip the grocery stores, but the prep work, cooking fatigue. Instead, get chef-crafted, dietitian-approved meals delivered right to your door. They have over 35 meals to choose from per week. So you can get the keto, the calorie smart, the vegan, the veggie. I got to get myself a gluten-free one because I can't be eating that gluten. You know how that rolls. Plus, over 55 weekly add-ons. You'll have a ton of nutritious and flavorful options to kickstart your resolutions. We had some delivered to our doorsteps. And, man, it's just so easy and it's great. And the food is good, too. It's like not just like some packaged food. It's like legit fresh. And you just pop it in the oven or the microwave. Boom.
Yeah, I mean, I dug it. You know, I like to cook. And honestly, like you said, it's not like regular, just prepackaged like slop. It was actually good food. It felt like I was just eating leftovers. Like it was just like when I make food the next day, when I reheat the food, like it tasted like that. And that's impressive to do that with a packaged meal. So,
yeah, I see a lot of coworkers here bringing it for lunch. You bring it for dinner. So it works in any type of meal form. So head over to factormeals.com/boxing50. It's a great deal right here. Use code BOXING50. Get 50% off. That's code BOXING50 at factormeals.com/boxing. 50% off Factor Meals. I love that. So we're bringing you some healthy, nutritious food here in Inside Boxing Live.
We keep everybody fed around here.
Speaking of food, will Callum Smith be food for Artur Beterbiev this week? Live dog.
Listen, that's food that bites back. So that's Callum Smith, especially what he's been doing at light heavyweight these last two fights, he's knocking guys out violently. One with a right hand, one with a left hand. The first one, Castillo. Man,
that was scary.
Dude, twitching, leg twitching. That guy's tough as hell. He gave Marcus Brown hell, and he got knocked out by Smith in two rounds or whatever it is, and like scary, scary knockout. And then the fight with the Frenchman after that, the left hook, that beautiful killer catch and shoot left hook that he does, right. That thing is nasty. So, the guy is legitimately a knockout puncher with both hands.
Yeah, Callum Smith is coming into this fight with some momentum. Hasn't fought in quite a while. Neither is Artur Beterbiev. That is the big fight this weekend over in Quebec, Montreal. Artur Beterbiev versus Callum Smith. Beterbiev 19-0, 19 stoppages. He's one of the most terrorizing fighters in the game today. An accomplished opponent, maybe the most accomplished opponent that Beterbiev has ever been in the ring with, because Callum Smith, had that run at 168, won the World Boxing Super Series, obviously lost to Canelo and didn't really put up much of a fight there. But this is a fun fight, and there are a lot of storylines heading into it. We'll start with Beterbiev. Obviously, we know that what this guy's capable of, 100% knockout rate, one of the most fearsome guys in all the sport. But is he slowing down? He is close to 40 years old. It's his first fight in 350 days. He had two fights in 2022. And he had just one in 2023. This fight was supposed to be in August. It got pushed back because of some type of jaw surgery. Not only that, Chris, the hard numbers. He's getting hit with close to 40% of his power shots over the last two fights. Yet, he still always finds a way to win. He's a big favorite in this fight. Are we seeing signs of slippage from Artur Beterbiev?
I think all the people talking about the slippage are basing it on his last fight against Anthony Yard. And I look at that as a disservice to Yard. I think Yard's good. Yard is explosive. He's very fast. He's very athletic. And listen, he's going to hit you. He hit Kovalev a lot. Kovalev, obviously, he was a little bit older. Kovalev had to pull that one out of the fire. Anthony Yard's a good fighter, man. So I don't think you can blame aging or slippage on that performance against Yard, because he did what he needed to do anyway. He got him out in 8 rounds. It wasn't like it was a close fight that ended in a decision. Like, he still knocked him out. He still did what he did. But he had to take some flack on the way in, which I think is actually honestly is it shows a positive for Beterbiev that he's able to take big punches from a guy like that, because he's been down before. And Yard is a real puncher, and he's explosive, and he hits you with shots you don't see. And he took them well. He got hit with some big shots, walked through them, got the guy out of there. So I don't know. I mean, I look at the number 38. That's a tough number to not think about slippage. I don't think he slipped yet, but at 38, he could get old overnight.
Right, and he hasn't been in the ring in quite a long time. He does get hit. You see that with those numbers, and you can see it with your eyes in some of these fights. He's also a very he's a slow starter. So that can play a role in this if Callum can come out and kind of jump on him. We'll get to Callum Smith in a second. But, you know, Beterbiev has found success against these taller, rangier opponents. I think he's like 5'10".
Joe Smith, Vozdick. Yeah.
Right. He's 5'10", Beterbiev. So he's constantly in these fights at light heavyweight. He's at a disadvantage, reach and height. We pulled up some numbers here against these taller, rangier opponents. Hot Rod, Kalajic, Alexander Vozdick, Marcus Brown, even Yard was standing at 6 foot and was taller than Beterbiev. But Beterbiev, he outworked all those opponents in those fights, and he had success by boxing and moving and eventually breaking them down. So this won't be anything he hasn't seen before, Callum Smith standing at 6'2 with a 75-plus-inch reach advantage. A wingspan, I should say.
No, I think Smith is 6'3", actually. Right. He's a big boy, man. And that's another, you know, so when you look at the tail of the tape, I was looking at this yesterday. There's three things that really stand out. And one is, you know, 19-0, 19 KOs. So he's got all those knockouts. Next is that he's 38. I mean, I mentioned that already. But then also, Smith is 6'3" with a 78-inch reach. That's a big dude. And he can punch. So that middle distance is going to be really, really important for Beterbiev to cross that without taking any damage or taking too much damage from Smith on the way in. Like you said, he does get hit. And when you got a guy like Smith, I compare their two powers, right? They're both have big knockout power. Smith is a one-punch guy, puts you to sleep. Beterbiev beats you up.
Yeah, beats you down.
Breaks your will. Breaks your bones, breaks your ribs, smashes your nose, makes you bleed, beats you up, gets you to quit kind of power. So two different kinds of power, which is another reason this is such an interesting fight. I actually like this fight. But I mean, I was mad when this fight was announced because it wasn't Bivol, right? And also it's a very dangerous fight. But this is probably going to be a lot better of a fight in terms of action than the Bivol better be a fight.
Right. That's if Smith comes out and he's very much jab heavy. He's extremely jab heavy. He has one of the highest ratios of jabs to power shots. That's his best chance to win. But yeah, just going back to some of his opponents, Beterbiev, you know, the Yard fight took a lot out of him, and that was in 2023. Before that, you go to the Joe Smith fight, and that was, what, 2 rounds? And Joe had the worst, really bad game plan and was out of there. The Marcus Brown fight was the one where he had the giant cut down the middle of his head. And then once he saw the blood, that was probably the scariest performance I've seen from Brown.
Didn't deter him at all.
It actually it got him like more motivated, and it got him I think he upped his punch volume, and once he saw the blood, to like 80 punches around, and he got Brown out of there because Brown was like having success early on.
Well, so Brown's really good. Physical, strong, good boxer, and Beterbiev, that was a really impressive performance.
Yeah, and then in the Yard fight too, I think Yard was actually up on two of the three cards, or maybe all three of the cards. So like there are moments for where Beterbiev is vulnerable a little bit, you know, getting up there in age and just the way that he fights. I'm interested to see if Smith can get in there, and I don't know what his game plan is going to be, because I have some numbers here that are crazy. In terms of his jabs, 61% of his offensive output are jabs. That's the third highest ratio in boxing. Anthony Joshua sits at the top of that. 46% of his landed punches are jabs. That's fourth highest ratio. He's going to jab, jab, jab. He's longer. But can he win a fight? Can that last? Because Beterbiev, like we just said, he'll find you at some point. He'll get through that jab. He'll get on the inside, and then he does what he does, 19 knockouts in 19 fights. Can Callum Smith keep Beterbiev away with that really lethal jab?
No. Simple answer. Well, no.
Then Beterbiev's going to win.
No, not necessarily, because I think Callum Smith can knock Beterbiev out. And because we've seen Beterbiev down against lesser opponents. Callum Johnson put him down with a left hook.
Early, though, right?
It was early.
No, I'm saying, so, like, if Callum Smith knocks out Beterbiev, I think it's going to happen early.
I think if Callum Smith wins, it's before five. Mm-hmm. I think once we cross over that fifth round, is Beterbiev territory after
right.
that.
He just warms up.
Yeah, Callum Smith's got to he's got to catch and surprise Beterbiev early with the power, and that's actually what there was an interview with Buddy McGirt, and he was saying that he's like, we got to get his respect early, we got to hit him with something big early, we got to hurt him, otherwise he just walks you down and beats you up, and he's absolutely right. So I think early on it's going to be very tentative, and that's where Callum Smith's best chance of winning is. But after that, like you said, the volume punching, the heavy handedness, the seek and destroy, the cold lethal mentality that Beterbiev has, I think after five, it's really gonna be a Beterbiev fight.
You ever talk do an interview with him or watch an interview? Yes. He's completely not like his like persona in the ring.
No,
he's like
super nice guy,
jokester,
spoken.
Yeah, very soft spoken.
Smiles a lot.
Yeah, I mean, but he turns it on inside the ring. It's interesting because everyone thinks
he's
of
a murderer.
Him. Yeah, everyone thinks of him as this guy that's like, you know, he doesn't even speak English and he doesn't like, he's not, you don't even think of him as human, but he very much is. Watching some of these, supplemental, what's it called? Programming on ESPN.
Scary dude. Very scary dude. I interviewed him from fighter meetings when he fought Vozdik, the nail. And I had Vozdik winning that fight going into that meeting. As soon as that meeting ended, I had to go, nope. 12 rounds is a long time to spend with that thing. There's no way that Vozdik makes it for 12 rounds.
I can't believe that's
been,
like four or five years ago.
Six years ago.
I was going to say, is that his best win right now? Vozdik? Because Vozdik was highly rated heading into that fight. And I don't think Vozdik, obviously he stepped away from the sport after that fight and then he's now come back.
No, that's definitely his best win. Maybe not his best performance.
In terms of name.
He was having trouble, but in terms of the level of opponent, yeah, that would be the best. I mean, I think one of his best performances is Joe Smith. To be able to dispatch Joe that way, that's scary. Joe is a big dude with a great chin who's been in with tip top guys, and to get him out of there that way and that destructively, he hurt Joe bad, and I would say that's probably his best performance to date.
And Joe hasn't he did fight.
He fought Zerto.
Yeah,
after that.
Yeah, but he's very, very scary man. Callum Smith at 175 has those two big knockouts, kind of washed away. Or what that the Canelo fight? The Canelo fight was
Canelo
a bad
fight's
moment.
Hard to get over.
Bad
that
moment.
Hard
for
to
him.
Get over, man.
Bad moment. Didn't land much. Kind of gave up in there. Canelo hammering away on his bicep, and I think a lot of people were like, "This is the guy that won the World Boxing Super Series. This is the guy that was running through the 168-pound division, and he no-showed." So I think he has rehabilitated his image and his career pretty well at 175 with these two scary knockouts, albeit they're not household names, but like you said, some of these guys are really tough in there. So he has that going for him. That's what makes this fight intriguing to me, is that Smith is like a legit 175-pounder now with power, and I know he hasn't fought in quite a while, has some momentum in terms of how he's winning these fights.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, but he hasn't been active either. And I think more so him than Beterbiev, I think timing's going to matter.
Yeah.
Beterbiev, because he's much more of a beat the drum, chop the tree down type of guy, the timing isn't going to matter quite as much. It might matter for his defense for sure, but Callum Smith, who's that one punch guy who needs to land that perfect shot, especially in this fight, I think that the time off is going to bother him more. Also, the lifestyle of Beterbiev, I think the time off is probably good for him, even though he's an older guy. And that sounds crazy. He's the kind of guy who lives in the gym. We interviewed John Scully on Pro Box TV, and he was saying after he knocked out Joe Smith on Saturday night, on Monday, he was in the gym at 6 a.m. and doing like hard conditioning workouts. So for a guy like him, who's forced to take time off because of his jaw injury, I think it's actually a good thing. He might have recouped him a little bit. And the fact that he is a devout Muslim, doesn't drink, is very disciplined. The age is going to matter less. The time off is going to matter less. So it might be good for him, in his body. That's just one way to look at it.
Callum Smith did not fight in 2023 and has only boxed.
Why? What was the reason for that?
I think because of this position that he was in. Like, he had this position and he sat on it and didn't. He just wanted that title shot, and he did not fight in 2023 and has only boxed six rounds. since the Canelo loss in 2020. That's insane.
Those are not good notes.
So both guys are coming off of really long layoffs. Still a fun fight. Vegas sees Beterbiev as a big favorite, -450. They like him for the knockout too, -220. Callum Smith by knockout, +700.
I'm betting that, dude.
That's
a good enough line, and it is possible. I'm betting that
Smith knockouts +700. Let's take a look at what they have in terms of round props. And
I'll throw a C note on that.
C note Algeri. Smith to win in rounds 1 through 6 +1800. Like you said.
Oh, that's my bet. I'll throw a C note on that.
So Smith to win in rounds 1 through 6. That's crazy, because this guy has power, and like, wow, that's some interesting odds there. I gotta get on that.
Yeah, that's worth a shot.
And parlay blew up last week, and I didn't even care because I picked O'Hara Davies to win in round 7 through 12.
You were so happy about old man Barocha.
Yeah, I didn't even first time that I did not even care about my parlay.
You were like, take my money, I don't care.
Yeah, I picked Virgil 1 through 6. And Davies 7 through 12, and I did not care at all. So that's the big fight this weekend. I'm going with, obviously, I'm going to throw some money on Callum Smith, but I think Beterbiev, it's hard to bet against the guy who's 19-0 with 19 knockouts. Until I see real slippage, I will pick Beterbiev.
Yeah, I got Beterbiev stoppage late, but again, I'm throwing $100 on first six for Callum Smith.
There you go, everybody. There's the play. We won't talk about the Bivol fight until the next show, until we see if Beterbiev can get through this one, but that's lingering.
But I mean, honestly,
over this fight.
I think the winner either way gets Bivol, right?
Yeah,
I would. Callum Smith, Bivol makes sense.
Bivol doesn't have any opponents, man. I mean, it's they signed him to that two fight deal in Saudi, for the second fight being Beterbiev. So if Beterbiev wins, I think we get the Bivol fight. I don't even care if the WBC doesn't want to sanction it because of their ridiculous rule against the anti-Russian fighters. I don't think that fight doesn't need a belt, because both guys have been champs since 2017. Like, we know who the two best fighters are lightweight. It's Dmitry Bivol and it's Beterbiev. So hopefully, we'll see who. It doesn't really matter who wins, but if Beterbiev comes through, he will fight Bivol in Saudi Arabia, and that's just one more reason to watch. Some news. We'll get into the news portion of the show. Mike Coppinger of ESPN reports Naoya Inoue versus Luis Neri is reportedly set for May.
I like it.
Really fun fight. Neri can really punch. Obviously, Inoue is all-time great status. He's coming off that win over Topalis. He is now the undisputed champion. He'll be defending all the belts, which I love. Defend those belts. Big fight. Neri is a guy that's reeled off 4 straight wins since his only loss to Brandon Figueroa in 2021. Ridiculous side note, that is the most boxing thing ever. Neri is technically banned from fighting in Japan because of a drug. He tested positive for, where's the drug? Zilpaterol? Are you familiar with that, Chris?
I am not. How do you spell that?
Zilpaterol.
No.
He was suspended and banned. But the officials involved.
Lifetime
ban. They don't mess around. Only in Japan. Like, they don't mess. Wow. He beat one of Japan's longtime champions. I'm going to mess this name up. Shinuke Yamanaka. And they found out that he was on PEDs. Japan says, you're banned. But rest assured, he will be allowed to fight in this fight.
Money makes the world go round, baby.
Well, and you're Naoya Inoue, and you're the biggest star in Japan right now outside of Shohei Ohtani. You can do that, you know. So I love this fight. I love this fight a lot. I think Inoue would be a big favorite, but it's just like Inoue taking on all comers, taking on anyone. Who's next? Luis Neri. You were once one of the top guys at this weight class. Work yourself back up there. That crazy A fight. All right, step in. Let's see what you got.
I was gonna say, and was in fight of the year last year. I love this fight. I mean, do I give Neri a chance? No, but I still like the fight. I think it's a great matchup. I think that Neri's a fun fighter to watch. He's in good fights, and he'll fight. He's not going to sit there and think it out. Like, he's going to go there and try. You know, he's been knocked out before in the Figueroa fight, and that was a body shot, I believe, right?
Yeah.
which is disconcerting when you think about Naoya Inoue, who's a fantastic body puncher. So Neary, I hope you're at home doing your crunches already, because you got some liver sandwiches coming your way. But I like this fight. This is a good announcement. This is a good fight. And anytime Inoue fights, it's going to be a big deal now. This is a good matchup.
It's kind of gotten, Inoue's kind of gotten into that Canelo status where it's like he's booking his fights like months in advance. Like he seems like May and December, and he's going to do it in Japan. I know some fans are upset, like, hey, let's get this guy back in Vegas. But take a look at the money that he generates in Japan and the money that he generates for his opponents.
No Stephen need Fulton. To come anywhere from, no need to change anything. Stay where you're at. Have everybody come to you. I've said this on a past show. He's got his own orbit.
Yeah.
These guys are going to come to Japan and get paid. It's good for everybody. It's good for them, too. Neary's probably going to make a career-high payday going over there.
Definitely.
I would assume.
100%.
So, why not? Just bring them all over there.
Still work. The U.S. market will still tune in. It's become appointment television. It's become a little bit of a tradition. Wake up.
Dorks 6 a.m. like us don't mind waking up at 5:30 in the morning.
Six in the morning, watching my robe, watching the way I destroy someone, and then go back to bed and maybe do a show after. The thing with Neary that makes this intriguing is, like, we saw this in the Topalis fight. And we saw it in the, not so much in the Fulton fight, but definitely in the Topalis fight. Like, Inoue was getting hit. He was getting hit a lot. And Topalis, not known for having, you know, big time game changing power. The thing with Lewis Neary is he got 80% knockout rate. He's got heavy hands. That's his calling card. So things could be interesting early in this.
I mean, he could box too, but Dan, Topalis is not known for boxing either. And he was jabbing the hell out of Inoue. He was landing a lot of jabs in those middle rounds.
Yeah, Inoue said it wasn't his best performance, wasn't his best camp. I think, you know, the three fights in the span of one calendar year, one being a huge one in Fulton.
Yeah.
Not that he was making excuses. He was just saying straight up, like, this was not a great performance for me, and it wasn't a great camp. So we'll see how he does with some extended time off, comes back in May, fights Lewis Neary. I kind of like him staying at 122 and just kind of – there's some good names out there, like Sam Goodman, Australian fighter that's making some waves. Lewis Neary, very good name. I'm missing one of them. MJ Akwadaliyev, if he wants to get.
Oh, Akwadaliyev, I like that fight too. I think that's probably next, as long as Akwadaliyev doesn't lose in the way, which he looked great his last fight. That fight makes a lot of sense. He's the one that Topalis beat, that Topalis upset.
Right.
But Akwadaliyev was coming off of a really bad hand injury, and that was his first fight coming back off of that. So. That's, you got to keep that in mind as well. But I like that fight. I think that fight after this one, as long as Inoue, which I do believe he will, get past Neary, Akpadali, makes a ton of sense.
Yeah, so we're starting to see Inoue kind of settle into one weight class. Everyone's got him going to featherweight, fighting Geronta Davis. Geronta Davis shot that down fast, said, I respect the guy, but come on, he's three or four different weight classes away. So I like Inoue settling in and, like, taking over one division, and then look at 126 in maybe a year, 18 months.
I love the Figueroa Inoue fight eventually. I think Figueroa's another guy who's a lot of fun to watch. Throws a ton of punches. He's a good fighter. He's got power. He's got chin. He's got balls. I think that's a good fight.
Line him up. Line him up. I want to see Inoue fight everyone.
I want to see Inoue fight Godzilla. I love that guy so much. If he goes to 126 and wipes that out, Godzilla's next.
He's a freaking beast, man. All right, let's go over our final topic of the show today. We talked about this a little bit on last episode. Errol Spence sidelined with the cataract surgery. It says at least 8 weeks. So 8 weeks gets you almost into April. And now, obviously, the Terrence Crawford rematch was floated out there, contractually obligated for that. And it got me thinking about Terrence Crawford, man. I mean, this is the pound-for-pound number one fighter in the world.
Weeks turns into 16 weeks because he's going to have a training camp after that.
Exactly. So now what are we looking at? So you can almost take Spence out of the equation here.
Yes.
He hasn't come out and said that. PBC hasn't come out and said that. But, you know, let's just play a little hypothetical game here. Errol Spence is out of the equation. Terrence Crawford, suddenly the best pound-for-pound fighter in the world, doesn't have a logical opponent.
Nope.
Who is it? I'm writing out the names. Jerron Ennis at 147 suddenly looks like a fun fight. Yeah. Jermell Charlo at 154. But Jermell Charlo just fought at 168, facing all sorts of out-of-the-ring issues. Who knows with that guy? Tim Zhu would be a fun fight. That's at a whole different weight class.
I don't don't think we see that one. I liked that one, you know, a month ago. I'm feeling like that's not going to happen now.
Then there's the Canelo fight, which I had last.
I think the Canelo makes more sense.
Well, the Canelo, it's one way to look at it, because I feel like that just lost all momentum. Like, in the summer, that was the hot fight we were talking about. And then, like, we kind of realized, like, as we got further away from it, like, this doesn't seem too realistic. But, like, but Terrence Crawford, like, are you staying at 147? You already got one belt taken away. At 147, the fight is Jerron Ennis. At 154, I guess it's Zou, and then there's the Canelo fight out there. So I really don't know what's next for Terrence Crawford, where he's in this big fight portion of his career.
Crawford's flat out said Ennis isn't the fight. And I tend to agree with him.
Will he change his mind, though?
It's not a big fight. But he's not going to get that money the way that he's looking for. He's in the twilight of his career. He's looking for the massive major payday.
But he should get $20 million to fight Ennis just because of his name alone. Just being Terrence Crawford.
He won't.
Take all the money from Ennis. Ennis will say, yeah, I'll take short money to fight for a chance at Crawford. Crawford takes 70% of the pie.
Well, Ennis, they're talking about him going to Matchroom, which is going to make that fight really off the table. So, what?
Said great, not more divide. I don't know Ennis's deal. Like, he's not really signed with PBC. Like, he had I forget his manager. I think his manager actually just passed away, Cameron Duncan. I don't know Ennis's deal in terms of contractually where he's obligated to. But that's the best fight right now in terms of guys that are around at 147 where Crawford last fought. Obviously, if you want to throw in like that, Ennis took his IBF belt, it can get back to being undisputed again. Terrence Crawford, but the Charlo fight is a mystery. The Zou fight is intriguing, but that now we're getting into the 154.
Does anybody care about the Charlo fight anymore?
No, because of how Charlo came out and fought Canelo.
Yeah.
Remember when Crawford pointed at Charlo in the ring while he was putting a beat down on Spence and said, "You're next."
Yeah.
Hot. Couldn't get any hotter than that. And I was like, wow, Crawford is going to go from Spence right to Jermell Charlo, right to the Hall of Fame. Boom. And now, you know, then we get the Charlo all out of nowhere fighting Canelo. And that really messed everything up.
You know, it'd be crazy if both Crawford and Spence retire this year and don't fight anymore. Because I could see it. I don't think Spence is going to fight anymore, honestly. Multiple eye injuries. Dude, eyes are hard to fix. As technological advances we've gotten, 20 years ago, a torn retina was the end of your career. You're never the same after. And even now, Abner Morris came back after a retina surgery, was not great. Sugar Ray Leonard came back after eye surgery, was not great. You know, Spence now he's on a second surgery for an eye issue. I mean, especially after the beating he took, we might not see him again.
Don't want to write him off, but it's hard to disagree.
It's not writing off. It's being realistic. Mm-hmm. And it would be a shame not to see him fight again, but also his health and his eyesight matters.
Right. He's talking about how much money he's made. Like he was online the other day. He was firing back at people. And he was like, well, I don't have to fight again if I don't want to. My kids are in private school. I got a wife. I got a ranch. I got a horse.
Yeah,
I think
someone called him a one trick pony. He's like, all right, well, that one trick got me all this. So
that's kind of a messed up statement, but that's Twitter for you.
Yeah.
So I think he's set, like, obviously financially, and I don't know. I don't know what to think of Spence, but you have to put a question mark next to him after.
But also, I
guess
Crawford retiring too. If he can't make a big fight happen, I just got to interview John Scully, you know, on Pro Box TV, and he was talking about, you know, his retirement. We asked him about his career, and he said, listen, my last fight was one of the best fights of my career. I was super dialed in. He was like, and then I was trying to get another fight. They kept falling through. And then I just said, screw it. You know, I'm just going to go be a coach.
and he didn't, no offense to him, he didn't come close to the type of money that these guys were bringing in.
No, that's another thing. Like he had to work. He had to go and like get a job. But it didn't seem like, he was like, oh, I have to go coach now. That's why I need to retire. It's more like, man, this isn't working out. Like, I'm not going to sit around and just go to camp after camp and not have a fight happen.
That would be a shame. I want to see Crawford fight three more times at least. I mean, next up in the 147, next up at WBA is Amanda Stanionis, WBC like Stanionis. Cody Crowley.
Where's he been? What's going on with him?
He was supposed to fight Virgil, and then Virgil got
sickness.
I don't know.
Virgil's
I don't know.
Back. Why is Stanionis not?
No idea what's going on with
him. Virgil was the one who had the health issues.
Well, what's going on with Stanionis is that he signed with PBC, and they haven't announced their...
Oh, okay.
They have nothing on the schedule yet. Cody Crawley also signed with PBC. He's next up at WBC at 147, and there's Giovanni...
Former sparring partner of mine, speaking about me.
You guys are kind of like the same cut out of the same cloth, you and him.
I had Cody in camp with for me for Pacquiao. I had him. I had Sean Zepeda. I had Mike Lefty Brooks, Sab Judah.
Mike Lefty Brooks. Shout out Mike Lefty Brooks. Big fan of ours.
Mike's, that's my dude. That's
see him
dude.
On Instagram all the time. And then Giovanni Santillan, who had that upset.
Santillan, yeah.
Had that big upset over, who was that over?
Rocha.
Yes.
Rocha.
Thank you, Chris, for saving me there. Yeah, so that's what's going on. Should we mention this? Teofimo Lopez?
Yeah, why not?
Teofimo Lopez calls out Terrence Crawford at 147 pounds. We're looking for an opponent for Terrence Crawford. Teofimo's no, he'll call out anyone.
Teo's a friend of the show. Why not talk about him?
Teofimo's always down for a challenge. He says, I want the guy at 147. He says,
listen, he actually made some good points if you're going to read them off.
Yeah. I'm not here to play games. I want to fight the best. The fighters Crawford fought were handicapped. Spence just announced his eye. Benavidez had a shot leg. Literally, someone shot him in the leg.
Literally, he had a bullet in his leg.
Kell Brook was injured, too, with his eye. Every fighter Crawford has faced at 147 pounds has been injured. I'm healthy. Fight the best fighter at the healthier weight. Let's do it. Teofimo Lopez, Terrence Crawford.
The thing about Tio is he likes to throw himself in hot water, and he always excels when he does. That's when he feels like he wants to tip top. He doesn't want to fight anything below the top because he just doesn't perform as well. He needs to be like backed against the wall. We saw it in the Taylor fight. We saw it in the Lomachenko fight, and vice versa. We saw it in the Sandra Martin fight. We saw it in the Kambosos fight. When he doesn't feel challenged, he doesn't perform at his best. So he's going for the biggest dog around. I get it. I respect it.
Do you think Terrence Crawford versus Teofimo Lopez is more realistic than Crawford Canelo?
No. No, I think Crawford Canelo is realistic. I think that fight that could happen.
I guess because they're both with PBC, technically, that makes it way
and
easier.
There's just so much money to make there.
I'm talking about the weight in terms of like Teofimo's at 140. He can. It's real a lot easier for him to go to 147. Crawford has fought his last 10 or so fights, 8 or 9 fights at 147. With the Canelo one, we're talking like we're jumping 20 pounds.
Yeah, but honestly, Crawford going up, I think in terms of body size and structure, is probably more possible than Tio. Tio's not big for 40. Him going to 40, I don't see Tio being a 47 pounder ever.
That seems like what they want to do now, like Haney.
But dude,
it's like a race to 147.
He weighs in at 38. He weighs in at like 38 and a half for these 40 fights. He's not tall. He's always in shape. It's not like he's been putting on any kind of weight, really. Yeah. I mean, honestly, I think he'd make 35 still.
That's so, just Teofimo with a mic in front of his face doing a bunch of interviews, making noise. He even said the retirement was a publicity stunt. Like, no shit. Yes, we knew that. And he goes, I know how to rile up you media guys. And then he goes and calls out Terrence Crawford. The Teofimo show rolls on next month. He's fighting Jermaine Ortiz. All right, everybody. That is our show.
Man. Good fight.
Right?
I like that fight.
Schedule's heating up, man. Schedule's heating up. January, he's like, get through January. And then February kicks off. And by the time you know it, we got Fury and Usyk stepping in the ring. I feel like that fight hasn't got any publicity at all. I think it will ramp up, though.
It will.
Good show. Let's watch some fights this weekend. Beterbiev should win. Callum Smith, live dog. Especially like him to in those early rounds, 1 through 6, plus 18, hundo.
C-note, Chris Algieri.
If Chris wins, drinks on Chris when he comes to New York next week.
For the entire office.
Entire, wow. Office. Wow.
If I win on that, entire office.
I love that. Okay. That makes it even more enticing to watch this weekend. As always, everybody, keep your hands up at all times, protect yourselves at all times, and stay out of those DMs. Good night.
Two Good & Co. coffee creamers are made with farm-fresh cream, real milk, and contain 3 grams of sugar per serving. That's 40% less than the 5 grams per serving in leading traditional coffee creamers for a rich, delicious experience. Whether you enjoy your coffee hot, cold, bold, or frothy, Two Good coffee creamers make every sip a good one. Two Good coffee creamers, real goodness in every sip. Find them at your local Kroger in the creamer aisle.